So my scripture I want to read to you today is from Psalm 139, and I want to read about the omnipresence of God. And it says, starting in verse 7, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into hell, if I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you." So those verses just speak to me of God's presence. And so this morning, thinking of, there's going to be so many of us that are missing today, that they are not, even though they're not with us, it's not like they're out of God's presence. So no matter where we are, in church or out of church, no matter where we are mentally, in our mind, the Lord is still with us. No matter where we are spiritually or fleshly, the Lord is with us no matter what. So light, dark, east, west, before us, behind us, all around us, we would find the Lord's presence with us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give praise to you. It is an honor to come to your house today. And we thank you, Lord, that you have seated in these seats the people who you want to have here today. And we give thanks to you for that. Lord, we pray for all those who are not with us, Lord, or those who are meeting in other churches today, Lord. We know that your presence is with them. And we ask that you be with them and that you would guide them in spirit and in truth this day and going forward. Lord, we give you this time that we are here today. We come here specifically to seek you, to honor you, and to give glory to you. May you be honored. May you be blessed by what we do here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I've spent the last couple weeks looking over and thinking about, you know, what did God want me to share to encourage you and to help you with your mission of being a grandparent church. And I thought about when Scott and I were first married, and I came up with this title, The End. Well, the end can mean a lot of things. The end of depression, the end of the war, the end of life, the end of time. And I thought about, well, when we were first married, we never thought about the end. I don't know any young couples who do. And we're taught about goal setting all our life. We're conditioned into that to plan and to kind of have control over how our life is going to go. But when we were first married, our only thought was we were going to be so happy to say goodnight and not goodbye every day. And we were thrilled to start our life together. We didn't think about the end of our life, how many years we'd be married. Never thought. I mean, we're going on 54, 55 years, and we've got our three kids and 16 grandkids, five in heaven, you know, just through circumstances, and some were not fun at all. And two great grandchildren, and we never thought about that. Those weren't part of our goals. Our goal was to be married, to enjoy life along the way, and have some kids. We didn't think about how we were going to do that, how we were going to afford it, but we were going to be in church work. We knew that, and we had the goal that we would never ever speak divorce. We would work it out no matter what it took. That was part of our upbringing. And so that was a goal, I guess. And here we are, 55 years later, since we first met each other, and realizing what God has done, because we didn't plan it. It just happened. And we are blessed to be in a country that's given us so much freedom and among friends and family who have encouraged us and taught us through the years. But there's a lot of people not in that position. So when they think of the end, it's probably different than when we think of the end. Our grandchildren, and probably your children too, do not want to hear about the end of times. They have a life to live. They're looking forward and all the blessings that they want and what they want to do and their plans, and they're trying to gain control over their lives. And, you know, we probably unmentionable goal, you know, that we just kind of thought in our heads, Yes, we wanted to be saved, go to heaven someday. But we were in no hurry to get there. And so, you know, we were hoping to have a long life together, but who knows? With the way things are in the world, you never know. Now, we're in a position where everything seems to be going pretty good. I mean, you know, there's a lot of trouble in the world, and there's a lot of things that people are dealing with. But when you look around us and where we live, this beautiful spot, I looked out my window this morning, and I said, thank you, God, that I can look out on beautiful trees and fields and the hay bales that are in the fields. And I go, we're so, so blessed. You know, if you lived in a war-torn country, or even if you were in some of the countries that are at war right now that we see in Gaza and Israel, you may not have the same feelings that we do. You might be saying, come, Lord Jesus, and come quickly. And that's what we're supposed to be saying. It's a little harder for us because we have plenty and we're blessed and we enjoy our blessings. So when I think about the end, I think about the end of the world. And of course, I think all of us kind of think, how will it happen and how will it affect me? And how can I have control during the time that's leading up to it? Because we're taught to be in control. Control of our emotions, control of our lives, control of our goals. My husband all the time is saying, honey, what's your goal? And I go, well, I'm going to clean the house and do the laundry. Well, really, that's not a goal. That's a plan to have a life that's comfortable and try to meet each other's needs in that process and our grandchildren and our son and then our girls who want us to come visit all the time. And we're going, well, I don't know about that. You know, what is our plan for life to reach to the ultimate goal? Then our ultimate goal has got to be heaven, living with Jesus. And we have to make sure that our plan will lead us to that goal, to that end, to the end of time. Jesus says in 1 John 14:3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. So I guess we kind of have to say, well, do we trust Jesus that he's going to do that? Because he says, if I go, well, we know then he did go after that. He's speaking to the disciples who lived and walked with him and saw everything he did and yet had some doubts of their own. So we have some doubts, probably mostly because we're really not in control. And when you're not in control, sometimes you feel a lack of peace in your life. And you wonder, well, what can I do differently? Or how's it going to affect me? Am I going to lose everything? What if the World War III did happen? What would happen to us up here? So the scripture that goes along with this, I'm going to share with you, is 1 Thessalonians 4:15-18. This is from the Message. I just like the way the Message says it. We can tell you with complete confidence, we have the Master's word on it, that when the Master comes again to get us, those of us who are still alive will not get a jump on the dead and leave them behind. In fact, they'll be ahead of us. The Master himself will give the command. Archangel thunder, God's trumpet blast, he'll come down from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. They go first. Then the rest of us who are still alive at that time will be caught up with them into the clouds to meet the Master. And oh, we'll be walking on air. And then there will be one huge family reunion with the Master. So reassure one another with these words. I think that it's important to understand that Jesus always was encouraging. He was always encouraging his disciples to move a little bit more in faith, to trust him just a little bit more, to step out and change the world a little bit at a time. And he's still reassuring us and encouraging us as we are facing end times. Now, if you look at our world today, it's pretty easy to say, well, we could be nearing the end times. Because there's so many things that come about. In fact, I've got a couple people that I like to listen to on YouTube. And one of them is a pastor who studies prophecy. And he has amazing insight into the Word of God. And he will share events now and how they may fit into the prophecies that we have in the Word. And I'm always intrigued by it. But yet I know that is his interpretation, because we see dimly and we have a different perspective than other people do. So you have to take that into account. And what I enjoy about him so much is he'll have people on with different viewpoints. And so one will believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, and one believes it's mid-trib, and another one will say, no, it's the coming of the Lord at the end, and it's not a rapture. And so you listen to them, and they all give great arguments, and they all seem right in their own way. And what's really better is they all respect each other's point of view and say, we don't know for sure. Scripture tends to say this. We all trust in God, and we all know that God has a plan, and they just respect each other and agree to disagree. So unlike our goals when we got married, Scripture does tell us that there is a goal, and the Scripture says keep your eye on the prize. But along the way to the prize, we can endure some things. When we lost our first granddaughter, she was 2 days old, and we had to endure that time. We almost lost James when he was born. He was in an incubator in a high-risk maternity center for 2 weeks, and they were telling us he wasn't going to make it. And you heard his story from him when he preached. Those were not things that we would like to relive, and they certainly did challenge our faith at those times. But I'm so happy to say that it was because of those who went before us, who taught us, instilled in us, and encouraged us, that we were able to stand through those times. And so we all should know that we will be able to stand any challenges that come to us. And if these are end times, and things start to happen, and we look at them, and we're overwhelmed even at times, we can still trust and believe and have peace through this, knowing that God does have a plan for our lives, and that plan includes going to heaven and being with him throughout eternity. So I just wanted to say, when it comes to end times, though, I am kind of a prepper. So I don't know if people can tell that or not, probably. But I always was, from when I was a kid. We would go on trips, and I always would pack snacks. I would have, like, coloring books, because my brother was 5 years younger than me. And I would have, you know, stuff to do, and I always packed M&Ms, peanut M&Ms, and regular, because we both had our own choice. And I would have some water. Of course, we didn't have little water bottles back then, so you had to pack them in, like, a thermos and take a cup. And I always brought my money, whatever I saved, because my mom and dad had taught me that whatever you get for your allowance, you give 10% to God, and you save 10%, at least 10%. And then we'll help you with, you know, spending it or whatever. So I always had money saved, and I would take it with me in case. And several times, what I did was really good for my family. Once we were on our way to camp, and we blew a tire on the trailer, and we never had much money in my family, but that particular day, my dad was upset about it. We only had a weekend because he worked hard and was an engineer, and we had to go find a tire somewhere, and for some reason, they had paid stuff through the mail up front to do everything and didn't have much cash, and they were worried about it. And I said, I have $20. Well, when I was 7 or 8 years old, $20 was quite a bit. That was our weekly budget for groceries, and it paid for the tire. And my mom, I can remember her saying to me, you are always prepared for anything. Well, not anything, but, you know, I was kind of prepared. So even today, I'm prepared. But when I read those blogs or listen to those YouTube things, I read the comments that people make. And I find so many of them are Christians who are saying the same thing that I'm saying. The first prep that you need is your relationship with Jesus Christ. That will see you through anything that happens. And that's the way I feel too, because these times are scary. I read an interesting thing by Billy Graham. He said, we are like people under a sentence of death waiting for the date to be set. And I thought, well, that's really encouraging, Billy. You know, but I thought, you know, it's true. We know if we don't see the Lord's return in the clouds coming for everybody, we will see the end. And I believe that Jesus does come to greet us and to usher us to heaven. But we have a sense, I think, everybody does. Things are starting to converge. It looks like it's closer to the end times than it's ever been before. And are we in the last days? I don't know for sure. I know God does, and I know he has it on his timetable. But it does help to understand what the Bible says about the end. So I'm going to just read you some quick things. 2 Timothy 3:1-4, in the last days, there will be difficult times. People will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud. They will be scoffers of God. They'll be disobedient to parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving. They will be unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends. They'll be reckless, puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. So I don't know if you're watching the Olympics. I'm not watching them. I decided that I wasn't going to because of some of the stuff that was going on. But every once in a while, I'm watching, like the horses. I love that and, you know, other things. But there's a lot of things going on that you go, that's just immoral. That's just not godly. And this stuff's going on, and people are seeing it all over. And that's got to bother you in some way, realizing that's becoming more commonplace. And someone spoke, I think James, when he spoke, said, that which we allow today will be widely accepted in the next generation. And I see it happening. I mean, I see some of you shaking your heads. It is. It's becoming more and more so. So anyway, all Christians don't agree on how the end is going to happen, which when you listen to people or talk to even everybody in here, we probably all have different thoughts, and it's from where we came, the teaching we were taught in church, how we interpret the Bible and our own circumstances, and that's okay. We have different opinions, and you know why it's okay? Because God's going to do what God does. It doesn't matter what we think. We are not in control, and so we can just lay it down, and we don't have to prove our point, because God has a point, and he's going to bring it about. One thing that we do all agree on, or actually there's three things that we all agree on, that is that Christ will ultimately return bodily, visibly, and glorified, that he will reign and rule with the resurrected who have transformed bodies, and it will be forever and ever, and that the details of this great event are known only by God the Father. Nobody knows, and it's important to know that. The Bible doesn't give a lot of specifics on how the world will end, but there's a couple things. One, which I just realized for the first time when I was studying about this. First of all, the Bible plainly describes the beginning, the origin of the earth. And yet, so many people don't accept what the Bible says. They have their own opinions. They listen to scientists or whatever, and they come up with their plan. So I'm not sure that if the Bible put it right out there and said, here's how the end is going to be, that they would believe that either. But in 2 Peter 3:10, it says, the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Now, Jesus then said, or actually it was John who said it, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. So that does tend to make you think something big's going to happen, and it's all going to change, and there will be no sea. So it sounds like it's a whole new earth, but it's bigger than that. Because when you look at it, he says, the heavens and the earth. And this is what got me. I'd never seen this before. Since the entire universe will be gone, we can assume that it is an event that affects everything. It's bigger than just the earth. Probably something we couldn't comprehend. You know, like, how do you live forever? What's eternity? Those kind of things. When it says that the heavens and the earth will pass away, everything's going to change, it'll be all new, that kind of eliminates that the end of the world's going to be a super volcano, or it's going to be some natural disaster, or climate change. You know, it goes beyond that. It will be on a larger scale that we can't comprehend. Jesus even said in his own words, do not listen to, he didn't say scientists, but I assume that's what he meant, religious figures and so-called experts. He said, no one knows the hour or the day when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven, only the Father. And I would take from that, only the Father knows how the end will actually happen. So I think that there are some things that are very important to understand. There's going to be a loud trumpet in the sky when God comes, Jesus comes to take back his elect. And as I've read about the end, I think, you know, maybe there's two times Jesus comes in the clouds to do things. Maybe there is a rapture where he comes in the cloud and the angels go and gather the elect. Scripture tends to say that. Matthew 24:31, it says, and he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to another. And then in Revelation 1:7, it says, see, he is arriving, surrounded by clouds, and every eye shall see him, yes, and those who pierced him, and the nations will weep in sorrow and in terror when he comes, because I believe that they're going to have revelation of how wrong they were, and that Jesus was the truth and the only way, and it'll be too late. So I look at that and go, could it be two events? I don't know for sure, but I've listened to a lot of different teaching on it and realized that I don't think anybody knows for sure, but God does. He knows. So I just want to go over a couple of things with you. I'm going to try to get you out of here in time to go see the other preacher that people want to see. Nobody but the Father knows exactly when Jesus is going to return. There are signs that the end is very near, and they're happening now. Increased wars, rumors of wars, natural disasters, the way people treat each other, the deception, the immorality. In the end times, we will see people out of control. And we see that all over. When you look at the way people are robbing stores and shoplifting, and the police have no control. It does look like the end. There will be a sudden snatching away. The angels are going to come and gather us. Yay. That's a good one for us. And then there's a time where we will be caught up in the clouds with Jesus, and we will rule and reign with him forever. But only those who have received him as Savior will get to go. So, you know, there just isn't time today to go into all the eschatology of the end times. Because, I mean, I get intrigued by what is representing the little horns on the beast? And is the beast literal or is it AI? And who is the Antichrist? And when will he come? And is he here now? And, you know, all of those type of things. All of those questions that we have. And I think as things happen, God reveals to us. And in our spirits, because we're Christians and the Holy Spirit lives within us, we sometimes sense those things and know or think we know what's going on. But God will reveal them to us when it's the right time. But the important thing is to know that God is here with us during whatever goes on. If this is end times or if it is not, it's a rough time. But Jesus promises to be with us there. And the hymns today were so great. You know, you get to the verse that says that and gives you that confidence. Jesus was all about encouraging us. And when it comes to understanding the end, whether it's the end of our life or the end of the age or the end of time, when everything is transformed and we have a new heaven and earth, he tells us to be encouraged. Don't give up the faith. Don't be perplexed. Don't let those questions trouble you. I am here. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Keep your faith strong in me, and I'll be with you. I'm your good shepherd. When I was a little girl, I was 4 years old, and then I was in a Sunday school class, and I didn't understand the lesson, so I just vaguely remember that part, but I didn't understand the lesson. I went up to my teacher afterwards, and I said, I don't understand why Jesus is carrying that lamb. And there was all lambs all around him. There's a picture. It's a wonderful picture, one of my favorites, and she said, you are that little lamb. And I said, me? And she said, yes, you. Jesus loves you so much that he has picked you up and he's going to show you things from a different perspective. He's going to show them the way he sees them. And then when you're ready, he's going to put you down where you're strong and you can go and you can learn with the other sheep. And he has saved you. He is your Savior. And she explained the whole thing to me. And I knew that day that I didn't know what I was doing, but I know that's when I received Jesus as my Savior. It just clicked. And I knew how much I loved him and how much he loved me. I think that's what we need to remember. Wherever we are, whenever we are, what stage of life we're in, our kids, our grandkids, our great-grandkids, we need to understand that they're in a position too where they're facing all of the things in their life. And they're thinking about end times because it's all around them. They're thinking about, could there be a third world war? How will it affect them? They're thinking about the economy. They're thinking about the CBDC and all that stuff and how does it change our lives? But our job is to encourage them like Jesus encourages us, to stand fast and to take him as their Savior and walk with him and understand that he'll be there. He'll take care of them. He'll guide them. And they don't have to worry. We have to occupy until Jesus comes back. That's what the word tells us, to occupy. We almost didn't have kids because of the end times teaching we got when we were first married, because it sounded so awful, and you don't want to bring up kids during that. And thank God that we had some very wise, they were charismatic friends, and they had like 5 kids, and they said to us, Jesus tells us that we're supposed to be about the master's business. We're supposed to occupy till he comes. Don't worry about all those details. Go ahead and have kids. He'll see you through. And he's always done that. We knew working in the church, we would never have money. We were taught a mentality of to be a pastor, you had to be poor. That's not true. But we didn't have any pension, and we didn't have any retirement as such, except Social Security. And as we were young, we thought about that and thought, well, we're just going to have to trust God to take care of us. You know what? He's done a great job, and he's still doing a great job. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of your kids and your great-grandchildren and grandchildren. But you have to be able to trust him. You have to be able to walk every day with him. And when you can't walk alone, he picks you up, just like a little lamb. He carries you, gives you a different perspective. Oh, I see it now. And he says, okay, here you go. Now let's go again. And he always starts over. If you mess up, he says, okay, let's do a do-over. You're going to do this till you got it. And it's like playing the piano. You just have to keep trying until you get those chords right and you can, you know, fill in and everything. He'll be there to do that. He's here to encourage us. He's a Savior. He's a Savior for everything. Not just for our sins, although that's the most important thing ever. But he's here to save us from our own fear. He's here to save us when we feel inept, when we feel out of control. And he says, my peace I leave with you. Not our own peace. Our own peace doesn't work real well, but his peace is always there to fill our hearts, to fill our minds, and to help us. And as we occupy until he comes, we need to stand in the word, receive him as our Savior, trust him to take care of us and to be in control, and then just do what he tells us to do. If anything, I've seen, if this is end times, I don't know. But I know it's getting towards end times for me. My husband said, my class has, somebody has taken up the mantle and they're publishing all the obituaries from my class in Wisconsin Dells. And I have a girl who she stood next to me in line. Her name was Cave and mine was Kavanaugh. So we always stood in line together. You know how they line up. And she was tall with red hair and she's just a sweetie. And she's taken up that mantle. She shares all of that, who dies, who has a grandchild, all that kind of stuff. And she encourages through it. I don't know if your girl encourages through it, but he was saying, man, all these people are dying. And I said, yeah, it's the age where we die. You know, we have that to look forward to as a promise that someday that will happen. And I said, you don't worry about it because we'll do what we can. You know, we eat as healthy as we can. Let's face it. We don't always do that. We take vitamins, we go to the doctor, you know, go to the dentist, and we do what we can do. But in the meantime, we just got to leave it up to God. There's an appointed time for each of us to go. I'm hoping it's when he comes back. But if it's not, We just have to be ready. That's the most important thing. You might not see the end of the age when he comes back and takes us all, and it's a brand new heaven and a brand new earth. But from this perspective, at least. But we might see it from a heavenly perspective. Maybe we'll already be there and see it. I don't know. God knows, and it's okay. It's okay to wonder. It's okay to have some fear about it. But we have to, we can't revel in it. We can't just sit there and wallow in our fear. We have to move on and be encouraged by what the Word of God tells us and what Jesus tells us. You know, there's a theory on how the end's going to happen. Several theories. But this is my theory. Because I don't know. I read it all. I listen to people. And I don't get confused by it. I just go, I think there's a lot of confusion about it. So I have the pan theory. And I'm sure you've heard about it. It's all going to pan out in the end. Yeah. God's got it. He's got this. And he's got me. And he's got you. It's all going to pan out. We can't control all the circumstances going along, but we can still have peace. We can have peace that we know the one who is in control, and we can trust him. He's never going to change. He's never going to leave us. He's going to be there, and he's going to be there for your grandchildren. He's going to be there for your families, but we have to somehow make sure that they know, and they know the path to go on without pushing it down their throats that makes them regurgitate it up and want nothing to do with it. We have to find the way to do that. Jesus was so good at that. We just need to read about him, what he did, what he said, how he lived, how he encouraged, and we'll be able to do it too. We're not Christ, and I don't, you know, want to go into that, but we're like little Christ. We're Christians. We want to be like him. We want to do what he did. So I just want to leave you with this. God has peace for you. And what about the end? The end is coming. The end of everything is coming. The end of cancer. I heard now they've got some new stuff, and they think they're going to end cancer. This is great. The end of whatever, it's coming. Some of it's good, some of it's bad. The end of the world, it's coming. It might be in our lifetime, it might not. But our job is just to stay busy for Jesus and to have peace, letting him be in control. So I'm going to pray with you this morning before we go. I hope you were encouraged by the end. There's so much more to be said about it, you know, if you really want to go into it. But I just think that's the message. Be prepared and be preparing others to meet him too. So let's pray. Father God, you are so wonderful and so good to us. And you do so much. And we are sometimes so short-sighted. But, Lord, we know you understand us because you made us. We fell from grace, and you brought us back through the blood of Jesus. So your mercy is always there for us. Lord, you uphold us. You draw us close to you. You provide for us. You give us peace. And Father, we thank you for all that you have done and all that you are doing. And, Lord, as we lift up all those we love and our families and kids and grandkids. And Lord, we just thank you that you care just as much about them as you do about us. Use us, Lord, as vessels to share your peace, to share your salvation and all the work that you do on our behalf, just to draw us close to you and to ultimately give us that reward of being with you in heaven, to serve you always. Jesus, thank you. There's no way to say thank you. There's so much to be thankful for, and you continue to be so gracious and merciful with us and so understanding. Lord, these are troubled times, but I know there's troubled times everywhere for other people too. We ask that you minister to all our brothers and sisters around the world. And here, Lord, where we enjoy so much in prosperity and plenty, we'll just give you thanks for that, Lord, that we are so privileged to know you in a way that it's so much more easy than a lot of people have. Lord, grant us grace to be your people, to show you in every circumstance, and to be lights that draw people to you. Grant us peace, Lord. And we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.